Talk Y'all Like Uncool, a way to deep dive into the shallowest people on the planet. I'm Elizabeth, and this week I don't have a tagline, but I have a quote for Carl Radke. Withholding information is not a gift. We'll talk about it more when we get into Summer House, but this is the most anti-Carl I think I've been the entire season.
Profound, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bewildered by my wise musings over there is Mr. Alex Morand.
I'm not the stepdad. I'm the dad that stepped into the middle of Carl and Lindsay's wedding plans.
Oh, wow. Really? Alex and I are usually on the same page. Let's see if our other co-host, Ms. Julia Baker, could follow suit.
Whiskey can't solve your problems. It only helps. That is for Luke, Kristen Doty's boyfriend. He wore the Whiskey Help
shirt
the whole episode.
Oh, yeah.
And even when he was trying to tell Kristen Doty that she had to change her whole personality for him to marry her. So,
Whiskey might help. Bowling. All right. Well, we got a packed week of Bravo. Let's start with Martha's Vineyard.
The Milo show, I call it.
Great episode of Martha's Vineyard. It just kind of needs more people. It needs more like light, fun. I loved our reoccurring characters. I love that they came back to apologize, but
yes.
Both of them.
A classic Bravo. I feel like Martha's Vineyard is the most like hinged show we have. Mm-hmm. Like every other show, we bring in Miami Girl or we like surprise Kristen's current boyfriend with her ex-boyfriend. This show, they're like, how do you feel about Phil coming back? Let's have a conversation with Phil. It's like too productive. So I'm happy we at least got some shitty I'm sorry buts.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But it still feels like a very hinged version of that. It's funny where they're like, we're going to bring back the chaotic energy from last season. And they're both like kind of humbled. And they're both just being spoken to. Yes. Like, you need to apologize to us right now.
Right. Because the current cast like beats them down. They don't let unhinged get through the gates. It's so true.
Yeah. Phil doesn't have a personality by the end of this episode.
We do have somebody who is sneaky unhinged. And that is Amir. Who has been hyping up his girlfriend, telling her that every woman in the house wants him. Now, Amir, I don't know if you know this, but we watched last season, and that is not true.
They're more into Nick.
With the press-on tattoos.
Nick looks so good with his tattoos.
I know. You got to get rid of the straw hats, my dude. Mm-hmm. But, like, okay, Natalie.
He likes to bunt. He's going punting. Is it bunting or punting?
I don't know what you're
punting,
saying.
Punting.
Punting.
Natalie is like the anti Noella. Like Noelle is like cute and springy and happy, and Natalie like is the Dementor for fun.
Right, but she's been hyped up to be that way by Amir, who is like you said, telling her a different. He's like, you're stepping into this like situation where like I'm keeping these ladies off me,
beating these ladies off with a tennis racket. Meanwhile, he's telling the whole house Natalie's crazy, like. Fuck you, but I really did not love her. I sell millions of dollars of houses. Like, she is kind of shitty, but like, yeah. I feel like Amir is making it so much worse.
I loved Natalie, and this is why. Natalie
make her a full-time cast
member. Amir's love of his life. Like, loves Natalie. We get eyes on her and see what she says. They are co-workers. They're like, how do you guys, like, what do you guys like to do? And she's like, well, he just recently joined our team. They are co-workers. She doesn't even know they're dating.
Oh, no.
But that being said, they're still together, which is like mind-boggling. It just shows when Amir commits to something, he really does follow through.
He does.
Yeah.
We got maybe what the rest of the cast was sensing, and we did not. A summer meltdown that felt alcohol fueled because I couldn't follow it at all.
Me neither. My big question is, what did Noella do that caused
Summer,
her to like?
She had a wig on and was laughing, and right, I think Summer was feeling really sensitive.
Right.
She's so having an identity crisis because the person she thought her dad was her whole life isn't her dad. She needs to process it somewhere other than this home. I feel so bad for her. Her energy is so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the person who raised her, her grandmother, is like going through major surgery. And, you know, It's also a grandma, so she's a little older. Like, you start, so I think she's feeling super abandoned, but she's definitely not the summer that we had last year.
And I, yeah, like, F you, Nick, for, like, saying, well, she used to come in, like, breezy, and now she's so heavy. It's like, ask her why.
Nick is always, like, judging these women on a scale of if he feels they're, like, hot enough to be around him. Have you guys noticed that?
Totally. He's like,
oh, Shanice, too crazy for me to bone anymore. Summer, too big of a bummer to bone. Jasmine, too pregnant to bone. I do think it's kind of sad that Summer, and I feel like this happens a lot, it doesn't want to burden her friends with her issues. But Summer, I don't know if I would call this episode not burdening your friends with your issues. You might as well just tell them so then they can actually, like, help you work through it instead of trying to figure it out.
Because mm-hmm. I think they're all assuming she's being weird maybe because of Alex.
Because like, they have no other from. Idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Alex definitely thinks that. And even when he finds yeah. out about her dad, he will still think that. So
it's probably me, right?
Yeah.
That's just making it a little worse.
Well, we have a double episode of Summer House to cover because we recorded early last week. So damn. Let's get into Summer House OG. Okay, guys. So starting with episode from last week, Balloon Guy. Kind of spooky.
Yeah, I don't see it. Every time we cut to them being like, he's so fucking hot.
I don't know what his face looks like. I cannot picture it for the life of me.
He's shot in bizarre. A lot of his shots are like overhead shots. Did you notice that too?
Just drone shots. Like
directly on him.
My favorite thing about Balloon Guy is that his small talk was about his balloons.
I guess he the really... camera would be a balloon cam now that I'm thinking about it.
He really didn't have another topic of interest. He is truly a balloon guy. And I
balloons and so are we gonna have sex? Those were like the two things he said.
Well, condoms are like little balloons.
That's true.
Good job, Julia. We are a sex positive podcast, but that Danielle sex scene was horrible. I've never been so like grossed out since watching people actually hump on Jersey Shore.
Right. This felt like a Love Island scene.
Yeah,
I'm used to this.
It was too much. I wanted more.
I was unfazed. The reason it repulsed me was because 5 minutes before Danielle is grossing Elizabeth out, she is yelling at Gabby for not wanting to have sex with Balloon Guy.
I think that's it. And also her standing at the foot of the bed, stripping naked, and then like awkwardly crawling. It just... maybe I'm projecting, but it just felt like this was Danielle seeking validation from a dude, and she doesn't want to have sex with him, but she really wants the feeling of having him want to have sex with her. And I know that's me like going down a wild road, but she wasn't like, they weren't making out or anything like that. She wasn't so into him. She was saying like, you're going to see my titties walking up the stairs. Like, it was just, it wasn't hot.
No, it was performative. It felt
made
very
me sad.
Like,
maybe that's why I was grossed
Gabby,
out.
Especially with the Gabby stuff. It felt like, well, I can have him. Like, I can have anyone I want. But Gabby, I'm just trying to, like, help you out here.
Gabby's, like, Balloon Guy? Like, what are we doing here?
And I feel bad for Gabby, too, because you can tell she feels a lot of pressure from her parents right now. Because she said, you know, like, my sister got a boyfriend. And, yeah. And then the whole house starts pressuring her. Poor Gabby.
I feel so bad for Gabby.
My favorite thing about that whole thing, the Gabby Danielle, is mm-hmm. that when Paige and Amanda are recounting it to Sierra in the next episode.
It's very like, Amanda focused.
Yeah, they're like, and here's the kicker. When Amanda tried to talk to Danielle, Danielle walked out the room.
That's what really happened. I love that too, Alex. You mean in the totally not spots Old Navy ad that they were in?
Oh, yeah,
oh my gosh. I was like, Paige would have been caught
never
dead
been
in
an
Old Navy unless they paid her.
They modeled a jacket that I own.
Oh.
that blue-gray one.
I love it. I think the biggest takeaway from the whole Balloon Guy saga is that Lindsay picks bad men.
Yeah, because Lindsay brought him in. That was weird. Yeah. Why did Lindsay bring him in? My takeaway from that episode from last week was I get why Lindsay is blindsided, and that was before this week's episode, and this is my thesis. Carl thinks they are breaking up because Lindsay called him Cocaine Carl and is questioning his sobriety. Lindsay thinks they are breaking up because she asked him to get a job, and instead of getting a job, he blows all their money by going to Barry's boot camp fucking 5 times a week. So I think that's where the disconnect is happening. They both view there is one big problem in their relationship, and they don't agree what that problem is, which would lead you to the conclusion there are multiple big problems in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to this week's episode. Uh-oh. All right, what do we think about Lou and Sharon? What's her name?
Carl's mom. Stepdad. Sharon? Is such a supportive guy. I didn't even know Carl had merch. But he had a More Life shirt on, which is Carl's phrase, which I thought was like really cute. I also 100% agree with the tough love he gave Carl.
Absolutely.
So I do too. And then I was like, fuck you, Carl. When this week he is like, and I was like, what do you guys? I don't know why I'm giving Carl this voice. And I was like, you guys need to watch back. Like, you're not in my relationship. Where in the last episode we just watched, he's like, oh my God, you guys are right. Like, throwing his stepdad under the bus.
I think Carl's mom showed true amazing reality TV, like, grace, because she really let her husband take it on, like, the critique. And she stayed very neutral. Like,
Julia,
well done.
Are you talking about the same woman who went to the bridal shower and then brought up Carl's season one situationship?
That was
that was
a good reality TV turn.
That was, she's crazy. That was wild.
No, she's like establishing the fact that she's an OG cast member. Loved it.
But I feel like Carl is also using this as a weapon in terms of when he's talking to Kyle and Amanda, and he's like, well, this is like the perfect out for me. Like, he's gonna tell the story about how his stepdad, who's a minister, doesn't
God told me
married.
Not to marry,
like,
you.
Well, logically, then we shouldn't. If this person who has experience getting people married says we shouldn't, like, he's going to fall back on that.
But he doesn't have the fucking cojones to say that to Lindsay.
He can't say anything to Lindsay. This is just another thing that he can't say to her.
And I realized the problem with Lindsay and Carl's communication style, besides the obvious, is Carl never tells her the full truth. So Lindsay always feels like there's something else there, like there's another shoe that's gonna drop, which makes you feel insane because you know that there's like a secret out there. So even when he does tell her the full truth, she thinks there's still more to it, even if there's not, because all the other times there was something he was keeping from her. So he's like, Lindsay's nuts, and I feel like he's setting her up to be crazy.
No, he is, because she's a smart cookie and she's memorizing every single word because she's having to analyze it, because she's having to look for clues within what he's saying.
Which
so
makes
then when
you
he
feel
changes,
yeah,
nuts.
He is right. Making her crazy.
So then when he changes his wording slightly, she goes, no, you didn't say that. You said this. And yeah, it's awful.
Because she's having to solve a mystery. Like,
how dare
what?
He not rip the band-aid off for her? He's like slowly peeling back this parental conversation band-aid to where we had to go through it for weeks.
And he's making her feel bad about her temperament by saying every time he does reveal something, he's like, well, I didn't want to tell you because I thought you would go crazy.
But she's going crazy because he says, Lindsay, I have a secret. You have to guess what it is. And she says, is it this? And he goes, no. And she says, is it this? Maybe. And then she says, well, I'm feeling really weird because you're making me guess. And he goes, why are you being so crazy?
And then he goes, oh, we'll talk about it later.
That would make me crazy. Speaking of Lindsay and Carl and also all the other shows and going into the Valley, all these Bravo shows are like, marriage is hard. I think marriage is 99% giggling and having a great time. I don't know if these people, any of them, should be married. I wouldn't say marriage is so much work.
Elizabeth, it's pretty much silly goose hour most of the time. Everything's hard for these people. That's why they're on our televisions. Like, friendship is hard. So, yeah. Dating is hard. Marriage is hard. Nothing is easy. That's why we watch.
Because they are overanalyzing it so much because that is what they are presenting. That is why they're on these shows. They're on these shows to talk about their relationships, to overthink everything, to sort of like it is enough to like put so much strain on a relationship to either be perfect or to be like, we're going to exploit what's bad about it.
I guess you're so right. Speaking about exploiting relationships, I've solved Craig and Paige's problem. Craig, you want to get married? You move to New York. There. Yeah,
yep. Totally. Done. Yeah.
He's the one who wants to have kids. He's the one who wants to get married. You're telling me Craig is down there with his little sewing machine every day? No. Paige is the one going on Good Morning America. Like, she has to, like, get in her cab and go.
And Craig, like, doesn't like anybody in Southern Charb. Like, he doesn't like anybody who lives out there.
It's so true.
And Paige hates Charleston.
And so, Shep.
Yeah. No, he's going to have to move to New York. And I think he'd be happy there.
I don't like that the conversation is, why doesn't Paige go? I think that's bullshit. Craig is the one who's pushing for these milestones. Craig, move.
I think it's the house is the big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Paige also calls bullshit. That's why she's setting up boundaries. Good for her.
Yeah. Good for Paige. All right. You ready for the valley?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the cast of the valley thinks that Kristen is playing checkers, so they're playing chess. But what they don't know about Kristen is actually playing Mario Kart. So they're never going to be able to, like, out-game Kristen.
Nope.
No.
Thank you. You can't. The audience really thinks that we're going to be like, these people have it right. Kick Kristen off my screen.
Yeah. And they also don't realize that we're watching and judging them in their own little familial pods and calling bullshit. Every single man on this cast is awful, except for oddly Jax won for me his Britney versus Jax this week.
And it reminded me how I've kind of always thought Britney is also bad, because sometimes you forget
she's married to Jax.
Just because of the sheer level of evil that Jax is, like, you kind of forget, but Britney's bad news.
No one else is back. Janet, calling it now, the Cersei Lannister of the Valley.
Wait, she has a brother she's going to have sex with?
No, but she's going to blow up somebody's party. She is like a time bomb. And everybody's saying, like, oh, Jason looked at her while she was gossiping and is like, who is this? No, no, no. Jason is not perfect.
He then fuels, he gossips too.
There you go, Alex. He's on the valley. Number one. Number two, he's married to Janet. He's not fucking dumb. Number three, this is a Reddit thing. What kind of lawyer is Jason?
I'm assuming not a human rights lawyer.
He's a workers' comp lawyer.
Oh.
For the corporate side.
When I heard that, I clocked it as the other side.
So I'm like, oh my God, that's so. Okay. So everybody. Every man here, even our zombie, what's his name?
Danny.
Even Danny made that shitty comment that he's the breadwinner.
Oh, I hate Danny. Danny.
He's the most redeemable one.
Oh, no. He is the most evil one. He's just better at, like, charming us.
They are definitely the most, like, please just, like, cut to the next scene whenever we're watching them.
Nia sat at that dinner with a napkin over her chest because she was leaking milk the entire time, and he has the audacity to say she doesn't work.
Yeah.
Also, he, like makes her sound dumb for wanting to continue living in L.A., when, like, that's where their money is. Like, I know he makes money in a closet, but, like, their daughters were on Young Sheldon. Like,
well, it is funny. Whenever they cut to their apartment, it does look like, it's like there's nothing in it except, like, a couch.
Right, and, like, seven cribs.
Yeah, it's just wall and couch.
You want Nia to work? Stop pumping her full of kids.
What is funny about that, though, is I do know voiceover actors that do, like, live in, like, nice Santa, like, they all moved to Santa Clarita. It's just weird.
Oh, so it like had more of, like, okay, so that seems
crazy to me. All right,
that's such an odd. Yeah,
well, because, like, you can, like, record in, like, a night, you get a nice house, you have, like, your own room to record in. I think that,
okay, yeah, okay,
it's enough. Like, the place with affordable, like, houses.
Multi-room. But that being said, they're still hustling in a way that they need to be LA-based. So don't act like your wife's stupid for not wanting to move to Santa Clarita.
Also, we're on a show called The Valley, you idiot.
Yeah, if you move, this money train is gone.
Yeah.
So, Luke.
Yeah. Still not pregnant, by the way.
He was like a different dude this week. He seemed like a different person.
I think he's 7 different people, and I think I saw his episode of The Monk, you know, like a scripted episode at one point where he had multiple personalities, and that was him.
I don't like that everybody is like gaslighting Kristen. Yeah, she got her facts backwards, but Jesse and Michelle were divorced months later, so I don't know. Is it crazy that we're on Kristen's side?
No, she's amazing. She's an oracle.
I love her. And a lot of this has to do with Jax. Jax and Janet are the masterminds of, like, let's get everyone to focus on Kristen.
So Kristen posted screenshots of text messages between her and Jax. Where it's Jax telling Kristen, she's going to divorce me in 2 months. And then him being like, but don't tell anybody. He's trying to Whitney Rose her. So she'll say it out loud.
And it works.
And it works. But what do we hear? Him on camera tell Jasmine that Kristen told him that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, are we ready for Vanderpump Rules?
I think that this season of Vanderpump is the craziest that Schwartz has ever come across. He's like a complete nut job this season.
Mm-hmm.
He's entertaining the idea of moving into Sandoval, which we would know if that happened.
Yeah.
So it's not gonna happen. But still, watching him do that's crazy. Watching
his
fake proposal is insane. Every time he talks to Joe, he seems like a maniac. Rebecca pointed out that they're like the not charming version of like Michael Scott and Holly. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh
my gosh. My
God.
The way they'll do like the robot.
Alex's girlfriend, Rebecca, we are going to steal that and put it on our Instagram page. Thank you for that. That is
amazing.
But
isn't that so true? It's like if you like saw that happen in like real life, you'd be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm speechless.
Yeah. And it's so hard watching those two together, especially after their last episode together. And then we watched Joe go right back into, we're goofing.
But then that fucking idiot goes, I can't say I want to invite you to San Francisco because people are going to misconstrue it. 30 seconds later, I'm going to marry her in 8 years.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to control Ariana's emotions under the guise of getting her to move on. But the one thing she has done to very concretely move on, get a new boyfriend, people hate.
Yeah. I mean, do you like him?
I mean,
yes.
I hate to kind of agree. I get what Lala's doing, and I kind of agree with like her sentiment. But he's shown nothing for me to be like, oh, this guy's bad. But I understand where Lala's coming from.
He has barely been in it. He is in this episode, and he doesn't go to any of the events.
Right.
It's smart.
He doesn't want to be. He's not giving. I want to be on TV.
He's not giving. I want to be with Ariana, though they are still together, and this is my supportive evidence. Ariana, I was really looking forward to this. Him, the truffle? Ariana, no, you.
I disagree. I think that he is showing that he doesn't want to be on camera. I think that's good. He's like the opposite of what Tom Sandoval. He's what Tom Sandoval thinks he is.
No, they are the same person. That long hair, wet, just like shirt off.
I
like when
loved
Lala
it.
Was in there, he made sure he could have stayed in the bathroom, but oh no.
I loved it.
Do you think that was Ariana being like, you're staying out here looking like that?
No.
She locks the bathroom door so he can't get back in.
That is him loving the camera, just being smarter and more
but
strategic.
But Julia, he's been in New York this whole time. He could have been on the boat. He didn't go. He could have gone to the party. He didn't go. He didn't go to these scenes.
I don't know.
Think about Brock's first season. That bitch was everywhere.
He's everywhere this season, too. Give me an example of male rage.
Says the guy with a domestic violence charge.
And Ariana's so kind. She kind of alluded to it, but she did not say it. And we all, and it was on the tip of her tongue.
Julia, I totally disagree with you. I think Dan is great. So I think you're dumb and wrong.
We'll see. I think that he is I think he's very awkward on camera, which like is good. Mm-hmm. it shows that I don't see any sort of like
red flags
plan happening with him.
No, because if he wanted to go fight Sandoval, that would have been amazing TV, and he didn't.
Anything,
he doesn't even want
to
be in a room with him.
Ariana is projecting a lot onto the relationship to make it seem perfect on camera. She's the one kind of like doing the work there, which, you know, I understand she wants it to seem like she's in a good place right now. So she's like, I really want you to move to LA. Like when she says things like that, I'm like, they just started dating.
Sandoval is so jealous of him.
Oh, yeah.
Like clearly, because Sandoval thinks of himself as having really cool hair. But Dan actually has the really cool hair.
Like that's commitment to have that long of top head.
I loved it.
Sandoval and Sheena back together.
Sheena did the best job explaining Sandoval what he did to Ariana this episode. You know, like the 20th time's the charm for Sheena. She made it more about Ariana than about herself this time.
I think it took Sandoval seeing Ariana with Dan to make him go like, oh shit, like I kind of, and then he brought up that they went to New York or to San Francisco together, like when they
Lala's
first started
great
dating.
Response that's sad.
I think Lala's big problem with Dan is that she didn't get a Dan after Randall. She doesn't have a hot dude with long hair who's like loves her.
She had that stance of like, well, how do you trust like a man so close to like an event like that happening to you? She was very against just relationships in general for a while. And I think still is. Hard to tell with her.
Well, she's having a baby by herself, which is like a big decision that she's taking a step back from dating for a while. You know, because that's, as in she said, I'll never risk having a baby with a man again.
I do think Sandoval is very relieved that Ariana has someone. I do think that kind of shows. Just in that it takes some heat off of him. I think that just selfishly it makes him feel less bad in his own weird way that she's happy with someone.
But then I think he's also jealous that she's happy with somebody.
Well, I think that's what happens. That's like the next step where he's like relieved. He's like, oh, she's good now, but wait a minute.
And then who does Sandoval have? Nobody.
Schwartz.
There you go. To wrap us up, Vanderpump Rules is not going to be filming this summer.
I know.
Oh, yeah, because Ariana's hosting Love Island, right?
Yeah. Another reason I think that Lala and Sheena are so mad at Ariana.
But I also think it could be that they're going to move a couple of them to the Valley. They really have to think, because we have two shows with the same cast, essentially, OG cast, but why are some married people over here and some married people over there? I think they're rethinking and doing a little switch.
If they added James and Allie to the Valley,
I would lose my mind. That would be the best show I've ever seen.
And Sheena and Brock should be over there. I need that little frog to move along.
All right. Are we ready for awards?
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, Ariana is going to be the perfect Love Island host. She has the right energy for it.
And she loves Love Island.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. And Sarah Hyland is now starring in a Broadway musical, so it all worked out.
Oh my gosh,
that's why she stepped down. Is she was doing Broadway?
Oh, I'm glad that she stepped down. I was kind of like, oh, because I love her. So,
all right, awards.
Yes.
My Meredith Marks bathtub award goes to James Kennedy, who had a 12 out of 10 bathtub scene this week on Vanderpump Rules. I love a Bravo celebrity in a tub.
We got silly Alex, James this week.
I was really hoping you were going to have the same tagline, but I don't think you do, or the same award, but I don't think you do. Let's hear it.
A new award, the Carl Camera Caveat Award, which was called out at Summer House this week, where Carl's kind of talking about like how he wants to withhold information from Lindsay, but he fucked up because all the information he wants to withhold is on camera and Lindsay will see it eventually.
Okay, I laughed so hard at the office-esque
cut to the
pan
cameras.
To the
There's like
just
eight cameras.
There. It kind of surprised me. I'm like, oh, it's just the four of us in this room. What are you guys doing?
And they're so close to them. Oh, and that award goes to Jax, who seems, he knows, but he comes across as oblivious to this caveat by what Elizabeth had mentioned earlier. He did tell Jasmine that Kristen's the one that told him about Michelle and Jesse's relationship not lasting for a couple more months. But of course, everyone's going to see that. Kristen's going to call it out. So I feel like Jax is going to win this award maybe every week.
Jax is constantly surprised he's on a television show. All right, Julia, what's your award?
I have an oldie but a goodie award. And my Detective Doty award is going to Jesse for thinking that Michelle might be having an affair because she's no longer posting online because, to quote him, she couldn't have a margarita for 5 years without doing the boomerang. And that is his evidence that she is definitely up to no good.
Okay, that scene with them having smoothies, if you didn't believe Kristen before... She's also like doing a gym from the office, looking right at the camera, being like, oh god.
I know, oh, she hates him.
This is a goofy week of Bravo.
The way that Jesse and Michelle stared down Danny and Nia when they were doing their little cheers kiss thing was the funniest
thing. They hated that.
You two kiss each other?
Ew. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Anytime.
You can catch new episodes of the Don't Be All Like Uncool podcast every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Podbean. You can also follow us on Instagram at Like Uncool Podcast. Remember to rate, review, subscribe, and mention it all.